It's fellowship. He loves it to one person. And usually we indicate worshiping by raising our hands. He loves it when you raise them up about half mast. He said, I just want to tell you something. I don't care what the devil's doing. He's trying to frame you, blame you. But I know that persecution, afflictions, all come from Him. I know that. So you think I'm going to magnify that? Mm-mm. I know who has the answer, and I'm not going to say anything like He doesn't. Oh, I don't know how long I'm going to suffer. I said, He has the answer. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, we need to learn how to talk. You capture that thought. Lasso it, throw it down, tie it up before it gets out your mouth. This is what I want to tell you, Father God. And I love You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Perfected love, or love that's on its way, it dismisses, it destroys the fear in your life. And fear is caused by something that you believe can hurt you or destroy you. But I tell you what, there's nothing bigger than God. The devil thought he was, and guess where he's going to end up? Whenever he comes and wants to talk to me, you know, an overwhelming uselessness comes over you. Lack of hope, and oh, who am I? Who am I? That's him usually walking in the room. I talk to him. I'm never going to know this, but I've heard that hell is really hot. I am not going there. You're going there. So you can turn the heat up all you want. You're still going there, and I'm not. Sometimes he just, you know, I can tell he leaves. Hallelujah. So, I can tell you, he hates worship. In my earlier days, I thought I figured out. I mean, not real earlier. I didn't get that much smarter, but maybe 2 weeks ago. No, wait, it was longer than that. You know what I thought fire was? Because I don't know. My teaching, to receive, it's always open, you know, to receive. And I wondered why there would be fire there. We're flesh. We're spirit. And our body's not going to go with us. It'll destroy everything that's natural. So it's not going. And then the devil's going to get thrown in a fire. So I was just wondering, is there something about fire that can lock a spirit up? I've never got an answer. Must be vain worrying. But I do know you'll never burn up. I know you can't get out. Now this is why a whole lot of people go, like some have gone all inclusive. I'm not supposed to say their names. It's not nice. Wait a minute, I'm a teacher. I don't want you to, well, you won't anyway, you know too much. They go all inclusive, which, you know, is one Adam. Where'd we come from? One Adam and Eve. Whole human race inherited spiritual death. So who's the second Adam? I mean, did I ask to be born spiritually dead? No. Mm-mm. It was because of Adam fell. I inherited it. Did I ask for it? No. So they go into these reasonings, and then they say the second Adam, after he died, everybody's saved. You're in a saved condition. Yeah, so you don't have to get saved. You already are. See, and that's what they're preaching, a lot of them out there, and that's all inclusive. You know, and I feel like asking them, you know, say, well, if we're already all saved, why are you living off the ones that are serving him? I got very popular. So, would you lift those hands half-mast, kind of, you know, so they'll stay up a little longer? Come on. You don't have to stay with their words. And they worship, that anointing will come in, and you just sing with them if you want, or just fall over in the chair worshiping, or maybe backwards. Unhook that thing. So let's do it. You lead.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, back against you and breathe, hear your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming.
But right now, what can I do when this is on me? I hate pain. I guess you do too. My back was a mess. I'm sure proud of my airplane. But I couldn't hardly get in it. Whole vertebrae tilted. Boy, did I have a war going there. And when I won, I just wanted to take vengeance on all pain. But it's gone. And just before we stand up and pray for anything that's hurting you, hallelujah, Jesus. So, I've had an awful lot of experience back and forth in these things. And the one thing that's kept me holding on and changing my future, walking the path out ahead of me, was the discovery of he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And the reason you're edifying yourself, because you're working the future in front of you. If I know to turn right up there, it's because I prayed that. I prayed it through, and I know when I get there that I'm supposed to turn, because I already worked it out in the Spirit. He that searches the hearts, that's the Holy Spirit, knows what's the mind of the Spirit, God's, so he can make intercession for you then according to the will of God. And then you can know all things that work together for the good of them that love God and called according to his purpose. Why? Because you're working his plan as an individual in your life when you pray in tongues. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean he won't answer it. Well, saying, well, why don't I understand it? Probably because your unbelief, you'd kill it before he gets there. So let's just deal with that pain. And then we'll know. We'll dedicate this baby. She had been in a healing service and got dedicated. She's probably called. She? Yeah. Or is it? No, yes. Well, anyway, if you have pain, stand up. I tell you what, if you're already believing for it, that's okay too, because I don't mind agreeing with you. I kind of like to sweep it along.
Brother Roberson, do you have any pain?
No. But then again, I'm only 70. For I have much to teach you the ways of entering into me. Entering into. My rest. And you'll be amazed how it will strengthen you. Strengthen you. Strengthen you. Ki ostole amatoki. Zorino makoski. For this rest is based on my fellowship with you and the Word of God alive in you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you ready for your pain to get out of this service? You ready? First it'll get out of your body, and then pain has left the building. Yes, for you're on a path that you'll see some days that these kind of miracles will be second nature to you. That you know if they're sick, you'll know what I have for them. So be glad and rejoice, for you're going to a place, because you're walking in the Spirit, that I'm holding for you, that you'll see great signs and wonders, and there'll be days that those whom you love will come to me, saith the Lord. Whew. Woo! What's he going to do? He's going to take some pain.
What, to show that he heals us?
No, because he does heal you. Yes. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, woo, every knee. Oh, my goodness. There's no more powerful name in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Ooh, that means he bore your sicknesses, carried your pains. We esteem the stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he's wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquities. His chastisement of your lack of peace was laid on him, and with his stripes you were healed.
When was I healed?
About 2,000 years ago, so take it. So, Father, I thank you that pain, and what's causing it is stopping. Leave their body now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, do what you couldn't. Do what you couldn't. Bend, gouge, poke. Yes, Lord, keep my side. Check yourself out. Say, how many people do you think that had pain was healed?
Everyone.
He said, everyone. I can learn something from this kid. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I've taught series on hearing His voice and how to learn to distinguish between what's you and what's Him. And I think we called it something being led by the Spirit or something along those lines. For you that are wondering, the tongues, in fact, this is what this is. The interpretation is that when He's free in a service, then He'll make sure, especially when they didn't have a Bible, that's when these things were laid out. They'd have a script to read from the synagogue for the Old Testament, but then most couldn't read. So they'd have to be read for them. Much less when Pentecost took place and then the apostles and then Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, went deep into it into a revelation. But you would be lucky if you got a copy of the what Paul wrote to that certain church. They didn't have what we have. And usually you don't appreciate something until you're deprived from it. Somebody come in, took all our Bibles, we'd cry that we didn't memorize it. Took them all and then put us under a watch. God, oh, would we want to hold one again? So in a service, he had to make that order because one of the main foods was carried by the prophets, which are not like the ones that we've seen today. Yea, thy plane shall fly apart. They did that. But they were also a source of the word. And that's why he said, let the prophets speak one at a time, not more than three. So the prophets, you think they were sitting out there and they'd go, yeah, all of a sudden when it came to them. Yeah, thus saith the Lord. He said, not more than three, and then let it be by a turn. Each one take a turn. You mean they could, it wasn't spontaneous in the crowd? Yeah. You mean they could sit down and wait their turn and then go, yeah. No, they give us the indication the prophets have in our age that that's spontaneous. Yeah. But really, their prophets was a source for revelation knowledge. They'd receive a truth from God because that's what they did. They'd walk with Him. And when they got their turn, their prophesying was more a form of teaching things that you're reading. We got something like a diamond in our hands and some bad times coming. Come on. Put some of that on the inside of you. Whisk it in. So these prophets were a major stay. That's what he said. And them tongues. Finish this. They were a main stable. They were much of the food that the congregation ate of the word. Much of it. And then, of course, the pastor. He knew how all this worked. Paul would take them aside at times and take them with him and do some training and things. But do you know how blessed we are? Nothing can defeat us from the truth unless we're just lazy. And I don't see one lazy person in here. Have we took the offering yet? Takuesi. Janor obrabiakla insto de granto hakedase. Sokreskiha. For that the times increase and get worse and worse and worse, that many will turn to me with a strong faith and ask for help. And I'll come and help them. But I'd like you to know, you don't have to be under those circumstances to fellowship with me and ask me for things. For I'll go with you to the ends of the world if you give me souls. You fill your part that I've called you to be in the body of Christ, and I'll go the whole duration with you. But take advantage of what you have, because sometimes in the future you'll be exceedingly glad that you learned what you learned and your faith increased. For there'll be things that you'll see that will be the beginning of others. So be strong. Take advantage of this, for you've been foretold that while it's all available to you, take all that you can and get ready, saith the Lord. Whew. I don't know why I said saith the Lord on the end of that. Only because he did. Why'd you have to confirm yourself on that one? You're getting scary. Hey, if that's going to come, wouldn't you like to know about it? This is what was prophesied 100 years ago. Well, when I first came. We started this. These things were prophesied. What do you think? 25 years ago, that endurance prophecy came forward. The key word would be endurance. Because he knew we would stay in beyond a revival to anything he had or wanted us to know, find out about, or do. He knows that. It isn't just the revival. So the key word was endurance, and I think, too, that these things are going to happen in the closer in the end and more powerful and more powerful. I saw a great big old thick layer we were trying to get through, and there was glory up here, bright light, cloud, us. And that cloud, I fought it and I whatever, and I was thinking it was this and that the devil put it in. And when he finally told me what it was, I was embarrassed. I said, "What is that layer between me and that glory?" And he said, "Your flesh." I don't have to do this. He said, "Your flesh." And I seen people, they'd get through it and fight like crazy and stick their hand up and it would glow, and they'd go lay it on people and get healed. And then I saw somebody just stick their head up and their brain glowed and they could teach the hind leg right off of a dog. We lived in the land of three-legged dogs. But I'd see things like that. But finally, I got to see somebody totally break through it all and be submerged with the light and came back. Man, if that was how Jesus operated, the things he did, oh, I could understand. I mean, these guys could be dropped off at a city and have it in no time. So I saw it, and he glowed like the light, and he began to minister. And then the other people would break through and begin to glow. And pretty soon they would shoot to different cities. A revival would rage. So I didn't know it would be quite this long. But I think I'm starting to understand some things now. But we're getting ready to have a revival that not only rage here, you can take it to the next city and it'll rage there. You can take it to the next one and it'll rage there. uklači e che metto da che si legge. Vrake diamo. Se quo o kinele fora e boi esi. First, let me say this unto you. You'll be seeing more of these kinds of healing because in most places I have nothing to work with. But you'll see more and more of these, for that anointing will go onto the inside and powerfully, powerfully begin to change things from the root and heal, that you'll get over things. The things that are the resting bed for depressions and failures. I'm not going to make it. Cast down spirit. Did you know that many of those is caused from a past that you were really hurt in, and the emotions of that continued and then warred against your born again spirit to get around it, to cause you to continue to suffer? When I said gifts of healings, I say to you that not only can I do the mighty miracles, but I can heal that kind of sickness. Well, he said this once before, not long ago. Boy, you know, that one's a good healing. I got a good one of it, and then I got a little more in two parts. It was just incredible not to feel that way just next morning. I decided that worry, fear, torment is one of the worst enemies you can have. It'll affect everything from your aging process to how healthy your body is. I didn't pay too much attention to it. Now God called me off the platform in Brazil and said, "What did I tell you? When I say stop, son, you stop." And when I lingered a little bit, they gave me the little speech about, if you built the walls to a revelation, wouldn't you like to put the ceiling on it? He says, if you don't do what I tell you, you'll die early enough for all that you have, they won't receive. I said, I'll stop. And would you know, I was just thinking about that and went into a market. And somebody I'd run into a few times, he come over and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Good. Good." And he said, "How old are you?" I looked at him and he said, "I'm 66. And he says, "How old are you?" 60? I said, "No." But here's the good part. I said, 70. And he says, "No, you're not." I said, "I am." He wanted to know what I attributed that to. And I was able to tell him that no fear, no worry. He's not saved, but he's going to be. We're just a step away. He says, "What?" I says, "No fear, no worry. Come on. What does perfect love do? Perfected love casts out all fear. What you got to be afraid of? One sign that you're increasing in His love is you start losing your fear." Whew. I'm trying to get free. And you're saying what? He's holding me in this place right now because he wants to keep talking to me. Danke almost to the For not only can I give you a job, I can see to it that you receive one that you love. Not just for the money. And you're wondering, how would I do that? If it took me a season, I can do it. Because I can change this and this. Amen. Then head it into your direction. The thing is, do you spend time with me? What do you want? All things are possible to him that believeth. He's bringing me back into a day he did that for me. I not only got a job, I got one I loved. I could bore the barrel out of one of those destroyers, ships. I could make that barrel. I had a machine that it had a crane, a lathe that a crane had to load it. One time I cut something up that weighed 5 tons. I put it in the jaws, put a scope on it, got it round, and had to make some threads or something inside of it. But I love that kind of machine work and stuff. I got a job that I loved, and I just worshipped him and thanked him because that made everything different. I think he's saying some things like that. The devil puts the fight up when you want to break into worship. And you want to keep continuing to pray. When I got to private time, that's when I usually do the worship because I like to give all of myself to him. But praying in tongues, I can read my Bible, drive, walk around, work, and never stop. He don't let me know what it means. So anyway, right away, it's later. So usually when I got quiet time, when I really can get away, I love to do the worship. Say, worship? Oh, yeah. Magnify him and glorify him for what he is. You're his child. You've been born again. You have his nature. And now you're building yourself up in his love. I mean, that kind that never fails. If the devil ever really got scared, he got scared when he couldn't break me and make me break down and stop worshiping. He got really afraid. And then came a season, which, by the way, wait till you see the next season. But I'd try to go out and just talk to a crowd, and they'd break down and start bawling, and we'd lose control. The love manifests itself in compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion and he healed a third of them. Thank you. You're listening. I don't know why I got off on this. I'm not off on it, but off on it. Yes, sir. What you're looking for, you'll find in the things that's been laid out and preached. Not only in the working of my plan in your life through the praying in tongues and edification. Don't you know the giftings you're called to are also steered in your direction? Your calling and what you are and what he wants for you and where. You're working all of these things and you can do so while you're doing something else. That's the way I made it. Listen. He fixed it. For we could be doing other things and still working His plan. He not only comes down and prays it for us, but He answers it. What more do we want? I've said that before, about 50 times. But in the private worship, I was coming home from Oklahoma City. I said, what is going to be the thing that bring the most presence? And he said, go home, worship me all night, you'll find out. Did you? No. Took me a year. A year later, I didn't even do it. But boy, when I started, the devil raged and fought like crazy. He didn't want me to break through to a certain place. But I know that fight. I know what he was doing. And I'll just take it this far because you don't know how much is for you. This is the anointing of the believer, not a particular call. You can have this one. See? There was a man, I went to his church to preach, him and his dad. And then the son was the pastor. And when I was in Oak Ridge, Oregon, a mill town, and was just quit my job and was praying, that his father come through preaching a revival. And oh, man, but Dennis was just a little baby. And when we went to the coast then to be in the revival with this guy, Pentecostal guy, yeah. Dennis could sit in Rosalie's lap as a kid, you know. Well, he called me to come and preach. He's grown up now. I went to preach in Palm Springs. It was at the end of the first time I broke through in worship. It was at the end of that. And I went and preached. And I just kind of did a normal thing, kind of tired the first meeting. So I just, yeah, yeah. Then I went to the back, and there's a banger. And I was just going to take it and feel of it to see, you know, how hard it was. I don't know why we do that. We see how far it'll move and stuff. And I went like that to test it and just went like that. I was just trying to test it. This kid is 14, 15, that was born blind in one eye. I got close and I just put my hand up over the eye then and pulled it back, and getting ready for the usual result. He goes, oh my God. I said, wait a minute, close the other eye. Can you see me? Yes, I can see. I said, we'll do this. And he went, I can see. Then he ran out yelling, I can see. This was after church. I already prayed for everybody. Then he started telling me. He said, you know where this is coming from, don't you? I said, the thing I'd been doing was that private worship. And every time I'd find myself wandering down the street, I'd pull myself back and my arms up. And I know that I broke into finally where it just flowed for however long I wanted to flow. He says, the fear and that. And I never seen such miracles that accompanied that. When I came back here, pulling fingers from the door all the way across to here, I don't know. Everything started happening for a season. I said, you got more? He said, yes. You haven't seen anything yet. Have you ever seen somebody that's been on crutches all their life because they were born that way, throw them down and leave running? You won't hardly live through it. Now I know what he's telling me is really, it's really what he wants. The reason, he wants you to know there's a way that you can break into it. And he'll usually do it just as powerfully. Just as powerfully. I found out where it worked the most and the best was when I'd go into a hospital. The atmosphere there is real backward and death all over. And had the machines. Have the machines go off because they changed all of a sudden. Well, I would expect that from a preacher or that. But how about these signs will follow them that believe? And if you really do destroy fear by finding out a way to build up the love of God in you, there won't be anything you can't believe for. No fear. It even kills aging. Oh, there'll be a lot more women worshiping now. So this is habitual. I do most of my praying in tongues when I'm reading the Bible and other things. And the quiet, locked away times. Telling him that I really do love him. Thank him. Oh, Father, how can you love us so much? You'd give your son like that. You love me that much. I thank you for it. I glorify you. This isn't too long that you'll walk into a life and death situation with no fear. And you will do something about it. Also, your fears, strongholds, they can't stay. So, if you want prayer, even to a healing, something, you know. But the other stuff I'm preaching on is a decision.
You lay hands on me and I'll be free.
You'll do that anyway. You're free. He's with you. You're in a continual prayer. I'll never dismiss you from his presence. Go on. Go on. With this, the least you'll get is more strength in those things. That's the least you'll get. If you're believing for a healing, that's fine. It doesn't have a right to stay there anyway. Rest of you, you drive safely, you walk safely, no disasters will come nigh your dwelling.